Anyway, it's a pleasure to welcome Farah and Richard from League of Lights, who played a superb opening set today. You know something? I think there's about 300 people out there who've just fallen in love with you.
Oh,
I hope you don't mind
you.
Me saying that.
And I'm one of them. Because time listener.
You blew me away. That was absolutely fantastic. And I was sitting next to my wife. My wife never goes out and buys a CD at shows like this. As soon as you finish, you're straight out there at the merch desk in the long queue, I noticed, a very long queue. How did you feel it went? I thought you were just superb.
Oh, thank you. Do you know, we were a little bit worried before we came because it's a very cool prog crowd here. And we didn't know, because we couldn't bring our band today. They're spread to the four corners of the earth. And we were just hoping that people would like us when it's just the two of us. And everybody has been so kind. Really amazing.
Do you know what was interesting? And I mentioned this to Sean before we turned on the camera. And I said, you know what? I'm looking for a reference point to compare your voice. She sounds like... I couldn't find anything.
Really?
Well, you know, I was thinking the same, and there were certain parts of the set, and I thought, who is it you're reminding me of? Tell us, who's your influences?
Oh, gosh.
It's so hard to write promotional copy because we don't know what we sound
like.
What do people tell you you sound like?
Told me somebody I'd never heard of before. Do you remember what her name
was? No idea, but yeah, that's the thing with League of Lights. I think also with my other band, Threshold, is we don't try and copy anybody.
So yeah.
It turns out well.
It's kind of hard to get pigeonholed.
I mentioned to Sean, and I said, would this insult them if I said it? And he said, no. Watching just the two of you, not your full band, it had that Black Heart Orchestra feel to it.
Okay, interesting.
And you know the guys in Black Heart.
Yeah, interesting.
Because when you hear a band for the first time, for me, I have to find a reference point. Who do they sound like, so I can progress on? And that's what came out.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And the fact there was only two of you today. So normally there'd be how many of you on stage?
Well, the last show we did was in the Borderline in Holland, which I know a lot of people will know.
Yeah.
And we were supporting Propaganda, you might remember from the 80s.
Jewel and all that.
Yeah, and they played
them
all. It was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So we kind of fitted well with them.
Yeah.
We were, when our last album came out, we were reviewed in Prog magazine and also in Classic Pop.
Mm.
And I don't think many bands can say that. But
no.
Propaganda were in both as well. So we thought, it's quite a good fit.
Yeah.
So that worked well. I think they're doing some more shows this year. We're kind of hoping we can tag along.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But
how long have you been together as a group? Well, back up. Where did the group start?
So we got married 25 years ago. And we started doing music pretty much straight away. But it was 2011 our first album came out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it
we'd been recording for a really long time before then. But it was just random songs and it was nothing organised. It was just for fun. We had the studio, Rich had the studio at home. So we decided to turn it into League. Yeah, it was about 2011?
2011, I think, yeah.
So we've just been going since then and we've had some wild twists and turns. So anybody who listens to our very first album will find it's very different to what we played today.
As it should be, though. We're
on a little bit of a journey.
We've kind of gone from being... We were trying to be a little bit symphonic metal, but with a poppy sort of edge, with the first album, but with a full band. And we've kind of narrowed down to being this kind of more of a pop duo.
Yeah.
And so along the way, we've kind of filtered our sound down.
Yeah.
So in the set, you kind of heard a bit of all of it. And it kind of works with a five-piece, and it kind of works with a two-piece. So we don't really mind how we do it.
Yeah.
So doing a two-piece for us, we were a bit concerned with the prog crowd. You know, will they mind? There's not a drummer, that sort of thing. But like you said, they didn't seem to mind. So we're very happy.
To me, you know, your music is accessible. There are a lot of people get a bit sniffy about the term prog. It's not always been fashionable to be prog per se, has it? But your music to me is prog pop crossover, if you like.
Right.
So even people that say I don't like progressive rock, they would still love your music because it's not proggy prog, it's pop with a proggy edge. Would that be fair to
absolutely.
Say that?
Yeah, absolutely fair.
Yeah.
And that's what we've just heard a lot of already this afternoon from people coming up. Never heard you before, but really liked it. So.
But what's nice with this festival is it's called Music Without Boundaries, isn't it?
Yeah.
We thought, well, that's a good strapline. We can fit under that.
Yeah. You can use that on your next album.
This festival is a unique family of people that get together every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just going to a concert, it's going to share the weekend with your friends that you see once a year.
Absolutely, and Steve just told me that there's a prerequisite for this festival. only lovely people come to it.
I thought you were gonna make reference to your wonderful headdress because
no, do you like it?
Well, it's wonderful. And yesterday we had
too close. It takes my
you to be careful.
No, we weren't.
50% of the bands had facial and head coverings of some kind.
Well, we had Sprig and Mist on, who and Faye, the lead singer, was wearing a pair of antlers on her head.
Nice.
The following band
very
were
pagan,
also,
by the way, it was okay. A very pagan look.
Yeah, and the following band were also along very similar lines, and the lead singer had something.
Eb? Did Eb have something?
And Eb, who were a very good band from Scotland, they had similar. So I thought today, you know, you're very much
I mean,
in vogue
company.
With the weekend.
Yes,
you are.
Okay, good stuff. As Rich said, occasionally take his eye out. A chap earlier asked me for a photograph and he had feathers in his ear. But he said he liked it.
So Richard left his headdress at home?
Yeah.
I had it actually. So we did a single called Kings and Queens a few years ago.
Yes.
And we went over to Poland to do this video in this beautiful old palace. And so this is what Farah wore for the video. Oh. And it's kind of just stuck. I mean, not literally. comes off at night,
last
but it's
year was Myra Orchestra.
Yes,
remember, she had a headdress.
Yes,
same design,
she does.
But it was much gaudier.
Yes,
okay.
In Prague, I think gaudy is good.
I think big's good on stage.
Yeah.
You want to be
yeah.
seen, don't you?
Yeah.
But in the video, I wore a top hat and kind of had kind of black suit
yeah.
and everything.
Talking about the visual aspect of your performances, for the first time here at Fusion, and they've still not been able to do it yet at Summer's End, we've got the back screen,
yeah.
which is going down a storm. And having seen, you know, this is day three of Fusion, your video presentation was the best so far, without doubt. And we had IQ on last night.
Oh, wow.
And so, sorry, Pete and Mike, if you're watching, but yours was stunning
and
today.
Your timing was
and
perfect for the end.
So
oh my God! You turned around and looked, and boom!
Yeah. So how do you go about putting those videos together to match up with the stage performance?
That's all Rich. He's the brains of the operation.
So it started actually with Threshold years ago. So back in the old days, we'd play just live without any click track or anything.
Yeah.
And then some nights, you know, if you've just had some sugar or something in your food, then suddenly the drummer's drumming 20% faster and you're trying to play your solos and you can't keep up. So
yeah.
we started playing with the click track, so we'd always be exactly in time.
Yeah.
And once you do that, you can synchronize stuff to it.
Yeah.
So you know the video's going to be in perfect time. So
do you do your own filming?
So that's all been made by different people along the way. So
yeah.
we've done a few videos, haven't we? Kings and Queens was a great video.
Yeah.
We got a few others commissioned, a couple of them were lyric videos.
Yeah.
So we threw those in, and
yeah.
then the rest I just put together using kind of stock footage, just stuff that.
I loved the video with the girl running, the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
That is almost heartbreaking. I thought there's a story behind that. There's a whole album behind that. Maybe. What's the sort of just run us through again the story of that song, because it comes across almost a bit sad. Beautiful song, but almost a bit sad in the background, and the expression of anguish on her face as she's running away. Is
yeah.
she running away or is she searching for something?
So the track is called Persephone, and it was another lockdown song. I'm sure you've heard a lot of them. And it was really came about because we'd spoken to some friends who, unfortunately, they're still here, but they had near-death experiences. And there was this idea of that somebody had got to that point and they'd seen death in the corner. And we wanted to write this song. I call it my cheery little song about death. I didn't mention that today. I thought I might freak everybody out. Sorry.
We used to gloomy songs.
Yeah, we're really used to gloomy.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
So, but this song, the idea of it was that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So that's the main lyric. It's meant to be uplifting. And if you see Persephone come for you, then don't look. So the idea of the video was we were hoping to be there. We were hoping to be part of it. But as lockdown and then another one and another one came along, we just couldn't get over to see the videographer, so we just let him get on with it, and he said, well, what's the story? And we really told him this idea about this idea of sort of near-death experiences and death coming, and that was the story that he came up with.
Yeah,
wasn't
so,
it
so she's really running from death, she's just yes. Running away from death. That's generally what she's done, and it's just beautifully filmed, isn't it? It's like her own mini gorgeous. Movie.
Does she succeed? Cause at the close of the song, you see her at the edge of the water, and I'm thinking, is she going
to
walk
in? Oh, it's meant to be ambiguous. Could
we continue?
So there could be a follow up, and we find out what happens.
Maybe
to
we'll
her.
Have to do Persephone too. It's very prog.
Interesting. You brought up Threshold now a couple of times. Tell me about Threshold.
Yes, so probably people know me more from Threshold because we've been going for 30 years.
I've
stopped counting. We've been going forever. Well, progressive metal. So it's kind of in the same way that League of Lights has got a bit of prog, but it's got a bit of pop. Mm. I kind of think Threshold's like that too, because we're quite catchy. So even though we got the heavy riffs and all the noodly bits, we do always have catchy songs.
So they would fit in here too.
I've been talking to Steve. Lou's actually a big Threshold fan, so
you never know. Oh, we've only ever
played to one all seated venue before, so it's not that kind of music. But you never know. You might
get everybody out of this.
It's amazing how you light up though about it when I ask you that. Your whole expression changed.
Did it?
It's metal.
It's metal.
But you light up. That's an interesting dichotomy.
It's a funny thing. I was never into metal growing up, but it's just I joined a band and just as a keyboard player, just as a session player actually. I thought I was joining for 3 days, and ended up staying a little bit longer. And I just grew into it. I just adore the music, and I write quite a lot of it now.
And also,
you fell into it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's funnily enough, and we'll probably mention this at some point. But
yes.
The book is. I think a few weeks before I joined Threshold, I was writing pop songs for Simon Cowell. So that's how different my world was.
And then Simon Cowell?
Yeah, before he was famous.
Okay.
So,
but he was nobody.
He did all right, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting interrupted.
And you did bring a book with you, so obviously you're a writer too.
Maybe. That's clever. Clever little segue. Yeah. Maybe a writer.
Oh.
A good point. Tell us about the book, Richard.
So... Okay, long story. But I was spending a lot of time with my dad before he died. He needed a lot of looking after. And when I go down, he just reached that stage of life where he was just telling me all his old stories, remembering all his adventures from his youth. And it just, I just wished he'd had more of them written down. Yeah. And that just got me thinking I should start writing mine down.
Yeah.
So while I was staying with him, he was sleeping a lot. And so I was just in the house couldn't make a noise, couldn't really do anything. So I just started writing. Before I knew it, I'd written down one anecdote, then another one.
Yeah.
It's quite addictive. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of my life in Threshold, but it's also just my life. So you kind of get bits in between. You get me meeting Farah. You get us doing League of Light shows. So it's quite a lot in it.
It's a biography. It's a biography of your life.
Yeah. So it wasn't something I expected to do. I'm not even the main man in Threshold, But it was really fun to write, and I've been getting so many nice comments from fans. So. I hope you enjoy it.
And where is it available, Richard?
Oh, everywhere. So best places would be UK Burning Shed, who everyone knows, fantastic place to shop. In America, there's the Bandwagon USA, fantastic American equivalent of. And then Amazon, if you want to go to Amazon, it's all there.
But much better to support Burning Shed, we love them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the easiest is Amazon, but like you said, help the small guy if you
can.
Yeah. Especially in the proud world.
Yeah.
Let's talk about contact information for you guys. Where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, League of Lights.
Yeah, well, everything. Threshold too.
So leagueoflights.com, thresh.net, because Threshold was taken.
Okay.
That was back in 97. It was already gone.
Really?
Well, it was probably taken by the Moody Blues label, Threshold.
It probably was. I think that's where we got our name from. It was certainly in the mix.
I'm a Moody Blues fan, so that's probably why I like...
They had their record shop in Cobham, didn't they, down in Surrey, which was just down the road from us.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've got a feeling that was kind of one of the reasons we called.
Are you on Facebook?
Of course.
I look for League of Lights on Facebook.
Yes, absolutely. With / League of Lights
official.
Yes.
Yes, we're on Instagram. We're not very often on Twitter. We're not very good on Twitter.
Is anyone ever on Twitter?
But I'm not very good at it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Sean is the expert at Twitter, though. He can do a radio show and respond on Twitter at the same time.
That's advanced.
Yeah, I know. It's all an illusion, believe me. So, talking about League of Lights albums, how many albums have you released?
Three
so far.
Yeah, three.
And tell us all about them. What are they called?
So, first one, Just League of Lights. Second album, In the In-Between. This feels like an exam. This is scary. This is really scary.
We'll be marking you on this.
And the third one,
Dreamers don't come down.
please don't ask me the dates because I really can't.
How long since your last album was released?
We just asked her the date.
Don't ask me the date.
2021, we released that one.
Right, yeah. So it's still your latest one. So
post-pandemic or during the pandemic?
During. We did so badly. We released an album. It took us forever to make it, and we released it in 2019.
Just before lockdown.
So we were planning to go out on tour, and it didn't happen because we were all stuck at home. So while we were stuck at home, we were like, what do we most love to do in all the world? That is make music together. So we made another album, which was album 3. And we were still stuck at home by the time we released it, and we still couldn't go out on tour. So we're finally out doing some shows.
So was it a case of, as so many bands did through lockdown, exchanging music files between you and the rest of the band, and then
it was just
putting it all together?
It was actually
just you.
Yeah, what I said at the beginning of the show today, it's me singing, and Rich literally plays every other instrument.
Yeah.
That's actually the case on album 3. Yeah, he did it all.
And it's incredible, you know, to listen to you, just the two of you on stage, you would have thought it was a full band. You really, somebody who wasn't looking at you would have probably thought there's at least 4 or 5 people on stage.
But he did play it. He did play it. It's not all just...
Yeah, it's not all pre-recorded.
Richard, how many instruments do you play?
Oh, not so many. I can get by on things like bass and guitar, but I certainly wouldn't want to get up and do a solo. But I'm mainly a keyboard player. I'm kind of mainly a producer. That's my thing. That's what I love to do. I just love making the records. And it's just that journey. As soon as I finished one, we were...
So you have an engineering mind?
Mm-hmm. I guess so, yeah. I can just write them in my head.
He started on cello when he was little. Started playing cello.
Oh, there's that as well. We should do that. That'd be nice.
Yeah, we should get cello out. Next album. Very
cool prog instrument to use. But they made it fashionable with the yellow.
True, yeah. I remember I think it's 21, we just finished the album, haven't we? On the Thursday, we finished the new League of Lights album. And Friday we were due to drive to Cornwall for a holiday, but I knew I had to write a new Threshold album. And I said to Farah, I said, I'm going to take a bit of time off before I start another album. The very next morning,
I got up. Do you know how long he lasted? It was less than 12 hours. And I got up in the morning and he's there with his notebook and his pen. I'm like, how's it going? How's the rest going? Like, it's okay, I've already finished like the first Threshold track.
I had a good night's sleep. That was turned out to be the only rest I needed. So yeah, started writing Threshold on the next day. And that's just how I like to be. I just love writing stuff.
So how long have you been in Threshold, Richard?
92, I think I joined.
92. Okay. So you two...
Not 92 years. He's really old.
Yeah.
So you've already been married for 25
years. We've been married 25 years this year.
You don't look old enough, either of you. This is amazing.
Thank you. We can be friends forever.
So you joined Threshold after you were married.
Before.
So what was your music background before you met Richard? Were you doing music yourself before then?
I learned to play piano since the age of 5. I don't play very often. I have a much superior piano player in the house. I prefer singing these days. But no, my musical background in terms of influences and things like that is way too embarrassing to mention. People will never listen to us.
We're very non-judgmental
again.
Here.
No, you will definitely judge. But yeah, I grew up playing piano. I always loved to sing. I loved vocal harmonies. I don't think it's too embarrassing to say, as a teenager, I was addicted to Wilson Phillips.
Okay.
And I would know every single harmony. And I don't even know how I knew it. It was just one of those things that you sing along and it's kind of instinctive.
Yeah.
So that's become part of our music and part of our sound is the vocal harmony thing, because I love it. And I will always say, let's record another one. And Rich is like, you know, we've definitely got enough. You've done some like 16 parts. We definitely can't fit all of these on the album.
That's because he doesn't want to do any more production.
Yeah, probably. it's just laziness.
Yes.
Your voice is so pure. It's so clear. Have you had professional training, or is it just self-taught?
You just
developed it yourself?
I thought after a while, we'd been recording for a little while, and I thought I really should learn to do what I do properly. So I went to see a vocal coach, and I saw her 3 times.
Yeah, she also taught Ozzy Osbourne and Sid Vicious, I think. So
clearly, yes.
She taught.
You could have come out quite
amazing. She had an amazing roster of people that she taught. She was an amazing lady, and I still do her vocal exercises that she taught me at the time.
Yeah.
But no, I love to sing, and Rich will attest that I sing everywhere around the house. I think I drive him crazy. I change all the lyrics to every song. Every Threshold song has been repurposed in our house for something that occurs. Even the League of Light songs do that too, don't they?
You know what I like? It sounds like when she's cooking dinner, you get a show with dinner every night.
You do, and the songs turn, so they're no longer the Threshold song that they were written for. They are actually about the dinner.
So what's happening at the moment musically? Obviously you're here today. Mm-hmm. Any more gigs as League of Lights planned at the moment?
Not yet. We're trying to organise ourselves for the end of the year. But Rich is really busy with Threshold shows, so you've just got the tour lined up, haven't you?
Yeah, so we had a new album.
Talk about the Threshold tour.
Yeah, I will talk about Threshold. Yeah, so we had a new album came out in November called Dividing Lines.
Yes.
I don't know. So we're starting touring out next month. So we start off at Art Rock in Germany, where we played a couple of years ago. And then we do a European tour, and then just festivals all over the place. So it's going to be a fun and busy summer.
Yeah.
And if we can in between, we'll try and dot in some League of Lights
shows
as well.
See if we can fit in some more. You know he's going to be writing, because we're going away on holiday soon, and as soon as we go on holiday, his book comes out and then new songs start coming.
You're very busy with your own music, you're busy with Threshold. Do you get a chance to sort of see what other bands are around there on the scene? Who's sort of, who are you enjoying at the moment?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, we certainly since lockdown, we've just become hermits. I think kind of half the world's become hermits, haven't they?
And yeah.
Okay. We don't go out much.
When you don't listen to your music, what would you turn on to listen to?
So me personally, I just 70s and 80s. I just always go back to the nostalgia stuff. I've just been going through Queen and Genesis again, going through the whole catalogue. Absolutely love it.
I'm reading a book to go along with it. So he's listening to tracks that he's kind of bypassed, but now you're learning about them from a different point of view. It's quite an interesting take, isn't it?
Yeah, I got quite a good book. It was Freddie Mercury in his own words. And it's just they've kind of compiled all the interviews from over the years and put them all into one place.
Yeah.
And it gets a little bit repetitive because it's just the same thing said through the years. But it's just really nice to read while you're listening to the whole catalogue. It kind of gives you a fresh lease of life on it.
Yeah,
so that's
absolutely
been quite fun.
How about you, Paul? What would you put on your earbuds if you wanted to put on some music to listen to?
I would horrify all prog fans everywhere and say that I love modern country.
Oh,
there you go.
You know what I've learned?
It was that little gap before you asked me.
What I've learned, because you triggered this thing I discovered, coming to England, first of all, country is here, rock is here in the United States, pretty much. But I come over here and I'm listening to the radio going around the country, and I hear country music on rock stations. So that's why it...
Do you know, there's something about it, and I think it's to do with the multi-backing vocals and multi-harmonies, which are a lot more prevalent, maybe, in country music. I love it. I listen to anything. I listen to prog, but yeah, at the moment I'm on a bit of a modern...
New country, or modern country.
Modern country. It's got not the old stuff. The old stuff doesn't do it.
Too twangy. That's twangy.
Yeah.
If you're ever at a loose end on a Sunday night and you just can't think, what are we going to listen to? There's nothing on TV. You could always try switching on Progzilla Radio.
We will.
And you'll find me followed by this person over here.
Yes, and I generally put everybody to sleep right after Sean's show. So
I don't believe that for a minute.
Well, it's midnight in the UK. So I sleep with England. I go to sleep with England every Sunday night live. But he gets them all up and going, and then I tuck them in bed. They fall asleep listening to me, and then they go, damn, it's Monday. We're ready to wrap up, my friends, once again. Richard Fora.
Thank you.
Sean, Alan Kraslow. We'll be back in a few seconds after the next band.
Bye.